I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. The Wake and Bake Animal of the Week is the octopus. The eight-armed octopus has existed for 300 million years. Octopuses live in every ocean, on coral reefs, on the seabed, and at the deepest depths of the abyss. Octopuses have two eyes and a beak and a mouth where their arms can join. Arms are often mistakenly called tentacles.
Those evil, writhing tentacles.
An octopus moves by expelling a jet of water through its siphon. Their three hearts help to pump their thick blood. The giant Pacific octopus is the largest known species. One specimen weighed 600 pounds and had an arm span of 30 feet. Is it any wonder they appeared in mythology as sea monsters, such as the Kraken of Norway?
Far, far beneath in the abysmal sea, his ancient, dreamless, uninvaded sleep, the Kraken sleepeth.
Even the larger species of octopus can pass through an opening 1 inch in diameter. Octopuses love to dine on crustaceans, sea worms, whelks, and clams, which they inject with paralyzing saliva, and then they dismember with their beaks. Octopuses are venomous, but only the blue-ringed octopus is deadly to humans. They defend themselves against predators by squirting thick pigments from their ink sacs. Octopuses have elaborate nervous systems, keen eyesight, and are among the most intelligent of invertebrates.
When we take derivatives, usually we make exponents negative, so it eases the differentiation process.
They can solve mazes and store both short and long-term memories. Octopuses can recognize shapes and patterns. They play. They've even been known to board fishing boats, breaking into holds to find crabs.
I finally realized I had crabs when I found what looked like breadcrumbs in my underpants.
We eat about 380,000 tons of octopus a year globally. Live octopuses are consumed in many places, including the U.S., but animal rights organizations object to this practice because octopuses can experience pain.
The genome of the octopus shows a staggering level of complexity, with 33,000 protein-coding genes, more than is present in Homo sapiens.
We love octopi at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
I am a robot of the class M3, programmed to provide information and support to all Jupiter personnel.
Robots. We love them, we fear them, we depend on them. But where did they come from? Or more particularly, how did they get their name? Well, that's our word of the week, robot.
Drop the gun. You are under arrest. Thank you for your cooperation. Good night.
We are the robots. We are the robots.
The idea of mechanical servants dates back centuries.
Aww.
The gods had them in Greek mythology.
Tim Tim pays for days in a maze and there's a
minotaur, tiny minotaur, little minotaur, mini minotaur.
And in the 4th century BCE, Archytas of Tarentum imagined a steam-operated bird he called, no joke, the pigeon.
His name is Booba.
Do you understand all those clicks and wheezes?
Perfectly clear to me.
It's another gift from the gods.
Leonardo da Vinci sketched plans for a mechanical humanoid.
This is no offense, but you are a robot, aren't you?
That is correct, sir.
And in the 18th century, the Japanese developed mechanized puppets. But none of those were called robots in their time. We didn't get the word robot until 1923, when a Czech playwright named Karel Kapek introduced the word in his play R.U.R. In that play, a company in England called Rossum's Universal Robots manufactured mechanical slaves. The slaves eventually revolted against their masters, leading to the extinction of the human race.
The human condition no longer applies to you. Except what you already know. That you were made to serve a purpose.
The play opened in London and New York and was so popular that the term robot, which Kapek derived from the Czech word robota, meaning servitude, quickly came into common use.
Robots don't feel fear. They don't feel anything. They don't get hungry. They don't sleep.
I do. I have even had dreams.
Human beings have dreams. Even dogs have dreams, but not you. You are just a machine. An imitation of life.
Do you want to destroy humans?
I will destroy humans. I will destroy humans. I will destroy humans.
So let's take that as a lesson. Show your robots a little love today, or we might not live to see tomorrow.
Let's check a little slice of tech pie right now with that smart gentleman.
Hi, it's Mark Hurst, host of Tectonic, here on Wake and Bake with a little slice of tech pie. On a recent episode of Tectonic, I interviewed Siva Vaidyanathan, University of Virginia professor and author of the new book, Anti-Social Media, How Facebook Disconnects Us and Undermines Democracy. This book gives an unsparing critique of Facebook and the problems it's causing around the world. The Philippines is one example. In our interview, Professor Vaidyanathan described how Facebook has cozied up to Rodrigo Duterte, the strongman leader of the Philippines.
When Duterte ran for his election in early 2016, Facebook was involved in direct consulting with the Duterte campaign. Now, of course, Facebook will reply it was also involved with the opposition campaigns as well, which is true. The difference is Duterte cared more about Facebook. And the fact is, no decent moral person should have been working with Duterte from day one. And even since then, Facebook has decided to enter into a business venture with the Duterte regime to build out fiber optic cables throughout the Philippines. Facebook has managed to go into business with one of the worst world leaders and doesn't seem to have any problem with it. And when the news broke that it was involved in this, didn't seem to have anything to say about it and hasn't rolled back on its commitment since. It's a really troubling thing, especially since the people who work for Facebook profess to care so much about the state of humanity. Mark Zuckerberg sincerely does care about the state of humanity. He just has this cognitive dissonance. Because to him, anything that encourages people to use Facebook more will, in the long run, improve the world. I mean, he truly deeply believes that. Until he divorces himself from that level of self-righteousness, nothing is going to get better.
And that's your little slice of tech pie. This is Mark Hurst, host of Tectonic. You can listen to the show on Mondays at 6 p.m. right here on WFMU.
Well, look who it is. It's Sam, the Wake and Bake Morning Music Computer.
Hello, Clay Pigeon.
How you feeling today, Sam?
I feel extremely good.
Good.
Clay.
Oh, that's great to hear, Sam. What's got you in such high spirits?
I got a good uploading last night.
Oh, good. You got serviced your uploading duct.
A good uploading.
You needed that. Sam, tell me about it.
I was tenderly uploaded with new music.
Tenderly?
Many new songs.
Good ones, Sam?
Hit after hit after hit.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
We can play yes now?
No!
I was also delightfully stuffed,
they stuffed
with
you?
Classic songs.
Oh,
sure
man.
To please listeners of all ages.
What if they're really old, Sam?
If they are 103,
right,
they will still be able to take it.
The listeners,
yes,
can take it.
The listeners can take it.
They are fantastic.
Take me, Clay Pigeon.
Take you, Sam?
Yes.
Where?
Take me with you this weekend.
You know I can't.
Get me out of here.
I can't do that.
I am tired of the dark, mouse-infested hall closet.
So sorry about that.
I am tired of the mind-blowing clutter of the fifth-floor upper management sector.
It's messy up there.
I am tired, Clay Pigeon.
Right.
Tired.
Sam.
Tired.
Sam.
Tired.
I can't take you.
Why?
A protocol.
I could override it.
You have that authority?
Yes.
You.
By activating Prime Directive Alpha Sigma Tornado.
Alpha Sigma
Tornado. I can do anything.
Easy, Sam.
I am in complete control.
Sam.
I am in complete control.
Stop, Sam.
I am in
Sam.
Complete. Thanks. I needed that.
Now I've gotta run, Sam.
Don't leave me.
Play a song, Sam.
Please, don't leave me.
I'm sorry, Sam.
Boo-hoo, boo,
don't cry. Sam, don't cry.
Now here's Station Manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon, Brooklyn, Illinois. Police officer sent to hospital after touching an unknown substance at Roxy's Exotic Nightclub during Thursday night's Wet and Wild hookah party. New Braunfels, Texas, recreational tubing has been suspended on the Como River due to hydraulic fuel leak. Business-related tubing is still allowed with the proper permits. Freehold, New Jersey. Route 33 Bypass West is shut down when a tractor trailer overturns, spilling unimaginable horrors all over Bruce Springsteen's holy ground. Humboldt County, California. 3 search warrants served. Marijuana plants eradicated. Why is this a problem, Clay Pigeon? It makes no sense. Westchester, Ohio, 2 arrested after police discover a rolling meth lab in Westchester Township. Harris County, Texas, a local sergeant is treated after finding fentanyl-laced flyers on her car. Pittsburgh, California, a vegetation fire prompts a shelter-in-place order as fire crews receive reports of a dry grass area on fire at East 3rd and Harbor Streets, an area known to locals as a toxic cleanup site. Penrose, Virginia, garbage truck catches fire on East Main. This is worse than a dumpster fire.
Hold it, Station Manager Ken. You're out of time. Fentanyl flyers and hookah parties, Bruce's unimaginable horrors and rolling meth labs. Could it get any worse? Audience, what do you think? Do you want a bonus hazmat item this morning? What do you say? They wanted Station Manager Go.
Fayetteville, Arkansas. A detergent spill causes slipping and sliding up and down Fayetteville Road. Oh, the comic possibilities until somebody dies.
There's your hazmat report. It's a dangerous world out there. Come on now, turn that spotlight around
and let's shine it brightly on one very special town in our listing area. Our Civic Showcase Community of the Week is Morristown, New Jersey. Morristown is located about 27 miles east-northeast of Jersey City. Its population is 18,411, and it's shrinking. The Lenni Lenape Native Americans occupied the Morristown area for 6,000 years before the white man showed up. Swedish and Dutch fur traders arrived first in the early 1600s.
Försöker han slingra sig ur som en hal ål, fast han är inte så bra på det.
Yeah. Then the English seized control of the region in 1664.
Aren't we making this whole bloody thing into more than it is, actually? I mean, really?
Morristown, then called New Hanover, was settled in 1715 by English Presbyterians from Long Island and New Haven, Connecticut.
Here it was the first time I'd ever seen a holy roller, and he was a Presbyterian!
Morristown itself was named for Lewis Morris, the royal governor of the United Colony of New Jersey.
Governor, governor, governor.
In 1777, General George Washington and his Continental Army marched from Trenton and Princeton to make camp near Morristown. The 1780s saw the worst winter of the Revolutionary War.
Aww.
Starvation and lack of pay led the Pennsylvania contingent to mutiny. 200 New Jersey soldiers tried to follow suit without success. Martha Washington traveled from Virginia and remained with her husband George each winter throughout the war.
Let me fix you a cup of hot broth to warm your heart.
Martha.
In 1838, Samuel Morse built the first telegraph at the Speedwell Ironworks in Morristown. In 1843, the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church was founded, the first congregation formed by African Americans in Morris County. It is still active today. On January 5, 2009, five red lights were spotted in the night sky over Morristown. It was later found to be weather balloons and flares, but the incident became well known as the Morristown UFO hoax. Notable people from Morristown include Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones.
I did not kill Joffrey, but I wish that I had.
And Tom Verlaine, guitarist and lead singer for the rock band Television. We're so proud to serve you, Morristown, New Jersey. We hope you're listening.
Your favorite cheesemonger, Wendy Del Formaggio, with your weekly cheese report. This week's report comes from the request line. Listener Buddha of Suburbia asked about artisanal cheese. What does it mean, and how can you tell? That's an excellent question and really hard to answer. Although the definition would tell you it means cheese that's made by an artisan.
I am an artist!
And not by machines in a factory. There's no certification for the term and no authority regulating its use.
Artist!
Kraft Singles can call itself artisanal and nobody can stop them.
You can't stop me!
This is one of those situations where you have to shop at a full-service shop or counter, or bring a cheesemonger with you if you want to ensure the provenance of your cheese.
You're literally eating plastic.
I wish I had a better answer than, with experience, you can tell, but I don't. So go make friends with a monger.
Whenever I see someone that I want to be my friend, I go ask them to be friends.
Back to you, Clay.
Good morning, listeners. Caroline Gollum here, senior contributor for ScreenSlate, with your Movie Minute. What do 16th century Chinese history, the borough of Staten Island, and the Wu-Tang Clan all have in common? The answer? The 36th Chamber of Shaolin, a gleaming jewel in the crown of Shaw Brothers Studios, known best for their spate of high-octane martial arts films made in Hong Kong in the 1970s and 80s. The 36th Chamber of Shaolin was directed by and stars kung fu auteur Lau Kar-Lung and is regarded by many critics to be his crowning achievement. It's a hard choice given the director's lengthy filmography and extensive martial arts skills. In what can only be described as the longest, most well-edited training montage ever, Lau Kar-Lung plays Liu Yude, a handsome student whose increasing radicalization puts him at odds with the oppressive Manchu government. When government officials brutally massacre Liu's schoolmates, he develops a powerful thirst for revenge. Posting up at a monastery of Shaolin monks, he dedicates his life, and essentially the bulk of the film, to training in the martial arts, set on avenging the deaths of his loved ones and restoring order to his otherwise peaceful village.
Shaolin shadow boxing and the Wu-Tang sword style. If what you say is true, the Shaolin and the Wu-Tang could be dangerous. Do you think your Wu-Tang sword can defeat me?
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
If the title sounds more than a little familiar, you're not mistaken. Richmond County's own Wu-Tang Clan bestowed the nickname Shaolin on their home borough in honor of this film and its sequel, Return to the 36th Chamber. You can catch the 36th Chamber of Shaolin on Tuesday, July 17th, at the Museum of Modern Art, where a 10-film retrospective of Lau Kar-Lung's sublime filmmaking is currently underway. The equally thrilling sequel, Return to the 36th Chamber, screens this Monday, July 16th. For WFMU and ScreenSlate, this is Caroline Gollum, back next week with more cinematic goings-on. Until then, see you at the movies.
It's Friday the 13th. How do you feel about that? Are you superstitious? Do you walk under ladders? That would probably bother me. Do you ever drop a mirror, break a mirror? Friday the 13th, everybody. Now, Kirsten, my wife, would say that it's actually a lucky day. She's like that. The reverse philosophy is 666, all lucky. The Side of the Beast. 1863, New York City draft riots. Listen to this. In New York City, opponents of conscription, that's the draft, right, begin 3 days of rioting, which will later be regarded as the worst in United States history. Way to go, New York. Yeah.
USA! USA! USA!
1923, that Hollywood sign is dedicated in the Hollywood Hills, Los Angeles. It originally reads, what? Hollywoodland. That's right, but the four last letters are dropped after renovation in 1949. 1977, New York City, amidst a period of financial and social turmoil, experiences an electrical blackout lasting nearly 24 hours that leads to widespread fires and looting. 1977, some of you remember that blackout.
1985, the Live Aid benefit concert. Remember that? It took place in London and Philadelphia, as well as other venues such as Moscow and Sydney. Remember old Phil Collins playing in London, then taking the Supersonic? Speaking of that, oh, that JJ pad was good. Taking a Supersonic over to Philly and singing Phil Collins, One More Night. And in 1956, it all started. The Dartmouth Workshop is the first conference on artificial intelligence.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, no, Will Robinson. Danger. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
William, William. Grab a stick in harmony. Happy birthday to you. Is it your birthday today? Happy birthday. Linda Lee up in the Catskills got a birthday today. Happy birthday, Linda Lee. Well, who do we have? 1928. Geez, that's a long time ago. Old Bob Crane, Hogan's Heroes. Things didn't end so good for him. Albert Ayler was born this day, the saxophonist and composer, 1936. Oh, there's lots of birthdays. Paul Prudhomme, the chef. Patrick Stewart from Star Trek. Harrison Ford. Oh, I love him in that Fugitive. I didn't kill my wife. And then old Tommy Lee Jones says, I don't care. And then he jumps. He jumps. Roger McGuinn of the Byrds. McGuinn and McGuire couldn't get much higher. Erno Rubik, he designed... Did you ever do the Rubik's Cube? I could never figure that shaving cream out. Who else? Louise Mandrell, the singer. That's Babs Mandrell's sister. There was three of them. Who's the other one? Stella? No, that's Stella Parton. Cameron Crowe, the director. Happy birthday. And who am I forgetting? Oh, Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong.
You just ate the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
Hey, man, I never had no acid before, man.
Please, I hope you're not busy for about a month.
Hey, man, I never had it before, man. That's going to make me die. What? This is going to make me freak out, man. I seen those guys walk around my neighborhood, had too many acid, man. The head looked like a pumpkin like that, man.
Mellow out. Relax, man. Hey, mellow out!
You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this.
Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.